Good afternoon. From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. The Juneau Assembly approved more than $2 million worth of city funding to support four proposed affordable housing projects last night. The money comes from the city's Affordable Housing Fund. The fund was created 5 years ago to help combat the city's housing shortage. It offers grants or loans to projects that aim to build more low- and middle-income housing. The projects approved last night are expected to create more than 40 housing units, including both single-family homes and apartment complexes located throughout the borough. Dave D'Amato is a developer attempting to renovate the shuttered Bergman Hotel in downtown Juneau into an apartment complex, but he says it hasn't been easy.
There's quite a few elements that are outside the city's control that are conspiring to make building very challenging and very costly.
Last night, he got some help with those costs. The Juneau Assembly approved a $900,000 loan for his project that would turn the historic hotel into an 18-unit apartment complex. The loan is close to one-third of the total projected cost of $1.3 million. D'Amato says he hopes to have the units ready for renters within 2 years.
I was really pleased the Assembly decided to preserve the Bergman and to simultaneously add 18 housing units to its affordable housing profile moving forward.
The Assembly also approved two grants to the Tlingit-Haida Regional Housing Authority. One is for $800,000 to help fund the construction of 16 single-family homes in the Peterson Hill subdivision, some of which are currently being built. The other grant is for $250,000 to help pay for building five single-family homes on North Douglas. Southeast Endeavors LLC was approved for a $200,000 loan to construct a fourplex on Lake Street in Auk Bay. The Assembly did not vote on a fifth project that was up for a $150,000 grant to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul because of a clerical error. That vote was pushed to a later meeting. At the meeting, the Assembly also approved zoning changes at two locations in Lemon Creek to allow for more housing developments in the future. As breweries in Alaska adjust to a legal ruling that could allow them to have unlimited live shows, a different sort of industry is also celebrating – musicians. Until last month, breweries were limited to four live shows a year, and before 2024, they were banned from having them completely. Now breweries can have unlimited live music performances. And the ruling comes right on time for musicians and businesses to start planning for Alaska Folk Festival in April. Marion Call is a Juneau musician, and as executive director of Music Alaska, she's also spent the last few years organizing other musicians across the state to advocate for the industry. She said the recent Alaska Superior Court ruling opens doors for musicians and performers.
This regulation was ultimately a regulation about when and where musicians can work. It was essentially putting a limit on how often and in what locations we can do our job.
The ruling argued that the regulations that limited live shows at breweries suppressed free speech.
It makes sense for the government to regulate various industries, but the thing that was so difficult about this particular regulation was that they were not intending to regulate the music industry. They were intending to regulate the alcohol industry.
And Call says musicians are a force in Juneau. More performances in town don't create a zero-sum game economically. Call says Music Alaska researches the economic impacts of music in communities.
Generally, what we see is that more music breeds more economic growth without necessarily undermining other sectors. We come into a space where there was no economic activity and created kind of out of thin air.
If the ruling holds, this could open doors, financially and creatively, for musicians during the city's biggest music event of the year, Call says.
I think Folk Fest excites me the most because it's really an invitation, not just for everyone to come out and listen and enjoy, but also for everyone to play. And I can't wait to see people feeling free to play anywhere without worrying about it.
Avery Stewart is a guitarist, vocalist, and writer with the local band The Rain Dogs. While meeting with a bandmate at a cafe in Juneau, he says he thinks former limitations have dampened Juneau's creative spirit during Folk Fest.
I was just recalling, like, past Folk Fest, seeing signs on the walls of distilleries because they had to put up these signs, like, do not play music here, which I thought was so silly.
He and band member Anna Mahanner said that impromptu jam sessions are an inherent part of the festival, and now there's no risk of businesses or musicians facing fines for them.
Instead, it's like, you know, you're interacting with one another by playing music, by jamming, by having it be maybe not a, like, high-profile thing,
yeah.
You know, but it's more casual.
It's like a communal experience rather than a performance.
Yeah.
It's just a sharing of music
yeah. In
its purest form.
Mahanner says she's excited to have more places to play in Juneau and different venues to suit different kinds of shows. She says she wants to be able to play for broader audiences.
I think that our sound is evolving in a lot of different ways, and we're experimenting with playing in different places. Like, there's, you know, a certain energy that you bring to when you're playing at, like, a bar or a dive bar.
And a lot of the Rain Dog shows meet that energy, loud and rowdy. But Mahaner wants to play in quieter venues, too.
And then with the idea of there being kind of more listening room styles, it's like a little bit more intimate, and you can be a little bit more personal with the crowd, you know, and interact and have just a more, intimate, vulnerable experience.
The lawsuit didn't specifically include distilleries, but at a recent Alaska Alcoholic Beverage Control Board meeting, board members said they believe those businesses will fall under the same ruling and be able to have unlimited live music as well. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. The Alaska Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office has until February 14th to appeal the decision, but board members have so far chosen not to. And tribal leaders from across the country spoke out today at a U.S. Senate hearing against possible changes within the Small Business Administration program that supports Native entities, including Alaska Native corporations and tribes. The Alaska Desk's Alonia Nyden reports.
The 8A Business Development Program provides federal contracting opportunities to socially disadvantaged individuals or tribes. It is widely used by Alaska Native corporations, especially when competing for Department of Defense contracts. U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski co-led the oversight hearing focused on the program. She says it benefits both the U.S. government and indigenous communities in Alaska and across the country.
It delivers mission-critical work for civilian and defense agencies. And it promotes economic development in Native communities while helping to fulfill the federal trust responsibility.
But over the past year, the Federal Small Business Administration and other agencies have launched audits into the program and announced a sweeping suspension of companies participating in it. U.S. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth also announced on social media last month that his department would be, quote, taking a sledgehammer, end quote, to the 8A program. He called it a diversity, equity, and inclusion initiative. Murkowski says that Native-owned businesses participate in the program because Congress recognized the government's trust and treaty obligations to Native communities, which is not a racial relationship, but a political one.
And that was not based on race. It was not based on DEI.
Two of four testifiers at the hearing represented Alaska Native corporations. Catherine Carlton is Inupiat from Cordova and is the president of Chugach Alaska Corporation. She told committee members that her organization has participated in the program for decades and has benefited from its economic opportunities.
For us, it provided the pathway to recover from the devastating Exxon Valdez oil spill in our region and rebuild our business.
Carlton says revenue from 8A contracts helps Chugach pay dividends to shareholders. It also funds jobs and creates economic opportunities in villages where it's desperately needed. Another Alaska Native leader, Polly Watson, also testified at the hearing. Watson is from village of Perryville on the Alaska Peninsula. She is now vice president of operations at Bristol Bay Native Corporation and says her organization has several businesses participating in the 8A program.
In areas such as logistics, construction, facility support, information technology, professional services, and mission support.
Watson says the corporation reinvests the revenue it receives through government contracts back into community. She says that one example is a partnership with the State Division of Motor Vehicles to deliver mobile DMV services.
Through this program, we have worked with the DMV to bring real ID and driver's license services to seven villages in the Bristol Bay region serving 544 rural residents.
During the hearing, Murkowski also acknowledged that Alaska Native corporations recently faced pushback from shareholders for some business, like participating in contracts from the Department of Homeland Security for detention and deportation activities. Tribal leaders and senators from Nevada, Oklahoma, Montana, and Hawaii all spoke in support of the Native participation in the 8A program. Murkowski says the committee will continue to take questions for the record for a couple weeks. In Anchorage, I am Alona Nyden.
And Senator Lisa Murkowski returned from a three-day trip to Greenland yesterday. She was a sole Republican among four senators who took the trip to try and repair the relationship with the Danish territory after President Trump's repeated threats to acquire the island. Alaska Public Media's Washington correspondent Liz Roskin reports.
Murkowski said she felt terrible for the anxiety her country inflicted on an ally.
In just a few sentences and words, trust that has been built since World War II has been eroded and degraded. We need to work to rebuild that trust.
Murkowski spoke to reporters in Nuuk, Greenland's capital. The trip was part of her initiative to bolster what she calls a Trans-Arctic Alliance. She was part of another congressional trip to Denmark a few weeks ago. The Greenland crisis seemed to abate last month when Trump backed off threats to take the Danish territory through military force. But the visiting senators were asked if they could guarantee the president wouldn't change his mind.
The answer is no.
Independent Senator Angus King of Maine led the delegation.
We can only exert our role as a separate and co-equal branch of government, but we can't guarantee what the president may or may not do tomorrow, let alone 2 months from now.
Murkowski says Congress will stand up for Greenland if necessary.
But I will also speak to the fact that there are some members of my party who don't want to be seen as engaging in anything that might be viewed as contrary to President Trump's initiative or desire, and so who may not be speaking out publicly.
She says in private conversations, Republican colleagues have assured her they won't allow Trump to seize or control Greenland. Murkowski says she'll encourage them to be more vocal because respecting NATO allies, she says, shouldn't be a partisan issue. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 40 degrees and overcast. It looks like we're expecting some rain tonight with a low of 35 degrees, but tomorrow could be a bit clear with a high of 41. We may get some 30-mile-an-hour winds over the course of the night, and a little bit of snow, but no accumulation is expected. This is KTOO.